Osho, the invitation, responses to disciples' questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 29.
Beloved Bhagwan, since becoming old 2 days ago, I have discovered a whole new world, the world of women's gossip. I am now accepted as one of the girls. Well, almost, but I guess I will never know that. My question is there no end to gratitude?
I have told you that the woman has three ages. She never becomes old. It is only the man who becomes old. The woman passes through childhood, through youth, and how wonderful you have made it. I think somebody has told you how wonderful you are. That has given you the wrong conception that since becoming old 2 days before, are lunatics, but he who can analyze his delusion is called a philosopher. From today you will be known as a philosopher. Remember, old age is when the candles cost more than the cake. And also remember, old age is when getting it up gets you down. You have certainly entered into the age when people will call you how wonderful you are looking. The eyes of the dead are closed gently. We also have to open gently the eyes of the living. I will try my best to be gently with you, because you must be dreaming. Women never become old. It has never heard of. You are not aware of a very fundamental law When you are up to your nose, keep your mouth shut. And never forget that money can't buy happiness, but it can buy you the kind of misery you prefer. And in the old age, certainly, one wants to be happy, but nothing can buy happiness. In old age, people have money, but money can buy only the misery you prefer, not happiness. I think, Devagit, it is better still to wait. 2 days is not a long time. You can come back. It is dangerous to be old. Start falling in love with someone, and old age will disappear. That is one of the strategies to drop old age. A man in love is incomplete, that's true, until he has married, then he is finished. So just don't get married. Always remain in love and you will be young. The moment you are married, then I cannot help. The only thing to remember about women is a man who moralizes is really a hypocrite, and a woman who moralizes is invariably ugly. So just avoid the moralizing women. It is simply human to err, and that's what you have done, fallen into a human error. But the law is, to err is human, but to make a real mess of things you need a computer. One who dares to be a fool should remember that that is the first step in the direction of wisdom. You have the intrinsic capacity to become wise. But only 2 days old, not very old. If you have really become old, you will come to know sex is hereditary. If your parents never had it, chances are you won't either. Thank you. Socialism is when the state owns everything. Capitalism is when your wife does. And this is a tremendously significant maxim to remember as far as old people are concerned. Whenever you feel the urge to exercise, just lie down and wait until it passes. If you have really become old, just have a look at your passport. If you actually look like your passport photo, you are not well enough to travel. Devagit, you are perfectly young. Just to avoid women, you are trying to play that you are old. That is not new. In my commune, every sannyasin plays old. This is a very different world. Outside, men are chasing women. In my commune, women chase men. Outside, women have headaches. In the commune, men have headaches. They look so much worried and afraid that some woman is going to get them. And most often the woman succeeds. It is good that you understand that 2 days before you became old, remain old. A big Yorkshire farmer found it necessary to go to London for several months and decided to leave one of his best workers in charge. "I want you to take care of things, Harry, as if I were here myself. Understand?" Harry nodded. 4 months later, the boss farmer returned to find everything in shape. Harry, pointing things out, said, "The chicks have been laying plenty of eggs. The wheat has grown double as strong. The vegetables are better than they have ever been. And as for those monthly spells your daughter used to have, I have even got those stopped." Devagit's old age is the same. Let him remain old, but don't believe his old age. He can get anybody's monthly problem stopped. He is simply pretending old.
Beloved Bhagwan, am I moving rightly, or am I just a hopeless gnat case?
Primnath, your question is very significant because in this world everybody is moving rightly, except the nuts. At least that's how the whole humanity believes. The reality is just the contrary. The whole humanity is a nutcase. And only few nuts escape from this madhouse you call the world. It happened once Khalil Gibran's one friend became mad. He was a very great poet. Thinker of a high caliber, a genius. When Khalil Gibran heard, he came back to Lebanon. He was born in Lebanon, he was brought up in Lebanon, he was a Lebanese. But then he went to America and his whole life he spent in America. Hearing about his friend in Lebanon, he came back to see him. He went to the madhouse. His friend was sitting alone in the park of the madhouse on a bench. He looked at Khalil Gibran but did not pay much attention, did not even so that he has recognized him. Khalil Gibran said, "Don't you recognize me?" He said, "I recognize everybody." "But what you are doing here? With great difficulty I have been able to leave that mad world and enter into this peaceful place. What you are doing here?" And Khalil Gibran is in his diary writes that it shocked me. But he was making a very significant point. He was saying the only madhouse seems to be sane. And outside the madhouse everybody is insane. At least in the madhouse nobody worries. Nobody is ambitious to become a president or a prime minister. Nobody is concerned to become the richest man. Nobody has any ambition. People are enjoying moment to moment life. You may not like their way of style, You may not like their way of enjoying it, but that is your problem, not their problem. In madhouse, nobody has any problem. Except the doctors who are running here and there and worried and concerned. The mad people don't have any worry in the world. They are just at ease as they are. They are in a tremendous acceptability. It happened in one madhouse. The old doctor got retired and a new doctor came. There was a farewell party and a welcome party also for the new doctor. The old doctor spoke first, who was retiring. Not a single clapping. Nobody laughed. Nobody seemed even to hear him what he is talking about. There was utter silence, as if there is nobody present. And when the new doctor stood up, people clapped, enjoyed. Few people started dancing. The new doctor said, "This is strange." The old doctor is retiring, who has served them his whole life. And they remained completely silent, they did not even clap once. So when the meeting was over, he asked a madman that, "What is the matter? Why you misbehaved with the old man? And you clapped me and you don't know me at all." They said, "The reality is, you look just one of us." "We were so happy to find you. That man was a problem. He was continuously worried. And here nobody is worried. Things are running very smoothly. No war, no murder, no suicide. And it is one of the strangest things that mad people rarely fall sick. If they are sick, they become healthy. Mad people are healthy people. Because all the problems that can create mental tension and can affect your body are no more there. Their bodies are natural. And they become innocent like children. The new doctor was very much shocked when he heard the real reason of their clapping and joyous shouts, and few started dancing. When he heard that they think that he is one of them, he looked a little crazy type. In fact, one of the great psychologists Adler has created a psychology around will to power. And one day he was in his class to his disciples whom he was preparing for the new psychology. He said that the people who become teachers are the people who want to dominate others, and that is the easiest way to dominate. Small children, they cannot do anything much. The people who become politicians suffer from inferiority complex. To hide that, they try to magnify their ego as much as they can, until it bursts. And he was explaining about every kind of profession, why people choose a certain profession. One young man stood up and he said, "One profession you have left completely, the profession of the psychologist." Adler was silent. He could not answer because the answer was clear. The student said, "Perhaps you cannot say it, but I will have to say it to complete the list. The people who tend to become psychologists are people who are psychologically sick. In fact, neurotics, psychotics, all kinds of nuts enter into the world of psychology. That is the most beautiful hiding place they can find. They become experts about madness, but deep down they are mad people. And I have studied lives of psychologists, and I have been really surprised that these people should have been in madhouses. And they are treating mad people. And they are the most highly paid profession in the world." You are asking, am I moving rightly or am I just a hopeless nutcase? Everybody is a nutcase, but nobody is hopeless. The world has been unfortunately grown in thousands of years in such a way that it has turned everybody into a nutcase. There are two kinds of nuts, normal and abnormal. The normal nuts run the whole world. They are doctors, they are professors, they are engineers. But deep down the madness is there, but within limits. But everybody is on the boundary line. Just a small incident, a small accident, and they can go beyond the boundary line. The wife dies, the business goes bankrupt, anything can happen, and the boundary line can be stepped. They become immediately nutcases, And the psychologists of the whole world are trying only one thing, to make abnormal nuts normal, somehow to bring them back within the boundary line. It does not help the nutcases, but it helps the world to go on running in its common way. But why it has happened that so many people in the world either are mad or just on the boundary line? There is not any qualitative difference, but only a quantitative difference, a difference of degrees. We have been brought up with mother's milk, with all kinds of superstitions. They have gone deep into our unconscious. I used to live in a city for a few months. Just in front of me, there was a municipal water tank and a man has the idea that while he is filling his pot with the water, if a woman passes by, that water has become dirty. He immediately threw the water and he will start filling it again. One day I was watching, I said, what is the matter? I asked the man, he said, according to my religion, women are, even their shadow is dirty, and I cannot drink dirty water. I managed a woman, paid her, that tomorrow you go on walking and let us see how long his religion lasts. But that man was also a man of great courage, because the whole day the woman got tired, but I was paying her, so she managed to continue. She went for some time to eat. She sent her daughter to replace. But the evening came, but the man continued to throw the water because the woman has come. Finally, it was too much. He threw the pot and came directly to me because he understood what is happening. And he said, you will drive me crazy. I said, you are crazy. Nobody can drive you crazy. Because the very idea you are carrying, that even the shadow of the woman makes things dirty, and you are born of a woman, so you are dirty. 9 months you have been within the womb of a woman. And you have not even thought for a single moment that what kind of stupid idea you are carrying. Nobody can drive you crazy. I am trying to drive you sane. So remember, from tomorrow, this superstition is not going to happen again. Otherwise, I get enough paid and I am alone. I will keep a woman constantly on the duty. That whenever you are on the tape, she has just to walk there. Or she can just stand there. Why walk? The man said, then something will have to be done. And he did. He changed the neighborhood. That very night, he escaped from the neighborhood. I tried to find where he has gone. I was in search, but the city was big. Somebody who knew him told me that don't waste your time. He has left the city itself because he knows you will not leave him easily. Wherever he will go, you can appoint a woman to walk. And without the water, he cannot cook his food. He cannot eat his food. He cannot drink water. You are killing him. But he was not thought mad, because the neighborhood in which he was living, everybody had that superstition. Just he was poor. Others had their own running water. That poor man did not have his own bathroom, his own running water, so he was using the corporation water. But they all believed that he was right, I was wrong. That why should I disturb people's religions? These are religions. If you just watch what kind of religions people have been brought up in, you will be surprised that they have turned the whole humanity into an insanity. I had once a friend who was a professor. And I had been his student also. In my post-graduation, I was his student. And then when I also became a professor in the same university, we became colleagues, but our friendship was old since my student days. He had the idea that to see a woman is the greatest sin. Now he is a well-learned professor. So he used to walk with his umbrella, covering his eyes, so he can see only 2-3 feet ahead. And he used to run so fast, his bungalow and the department was not very far. With his umbrella touching his head, he will run almost to his house, close his house from within, And in the class, I was the only male. There were two female students. Three were the only persons in his class. He could not see the woman. It was against his religion, which believes that celibacy is the foundation of religion. So he used to teach with closed eyes. Seeing him teach with closed eyes, I thought this is a good opportunity to have a good sleep. So I was also sitting with closed eyes. Those two girls wondered. And they felt strange also. The teacher is asleep. With closed eyes he is speaking. The only male student is listening with closed eyes. And the professor thought that I must be following the same ideology of celibacy. He was very much happy because in the university he was laughed at. Now at least there were two persons belonging to the same idea. He took me aside one day and he said, "You are doing it perfectly well, but how do you manage on the road, because I don't see you carrying the umbrella?" I said, "To tell you the truth, I don't belong to your madness. I'm simply sleeping. This is my time to sleep. My whole life I have slept from 12 to 2, without any exception." Even in the school, I used to disappear for those 2 hours. In the university, I used to disappear. And when I became a professor, I asked the vice chancellor that these 2 hours are absolutely sacred to me. You can give me periods before, after, but these 2 hours you cannot touch. He said, "What is the matter?" I said, "The matter is that these 2 hours are devoted to sleep. If you give me a period, I will sleep. And I will tell all the students to fall asleep. Just keep quiet and silent and enjoy." So he has given me periods after 2 o'clock. I told Professor Bhattacharya, was his name, that you are under a wrong impression. I don't believe in such idiotic ideas, because with your closed eyes you are seeing the woman more. What you are seeing with your closed eyes. And in fact, why you have closed the eyes, you must have seen the woman first. Then only you can close your eyes. And if seeing a woman, your celibacy is disturbed, it is not much of a celibacy. What you will do in a dream? he said, "You are right. In dream, I cannot do anything. Neither the umbrella is there, and eyes are already closed, and the women are inside. Do you have any suggestion?" I said, "Because of this umbrella and because of this closed eyes, your dreams are disturbed by women. If you drop these idiotic discipline that you have imposed upon yourself, women have their own business. Who is bothering to come into your dreams?" He said, "No, my father followed the same ideology. My forefathers, he was a Brahmin from Bengal. I cannot drop it. Although I know the whole university thinks me mad. But others have their own madness. It may be different, may not be detectable if everybody has it. But to be seen, there is only one possibility, and that comes out of meditation. Otherwise, whatever you do is going to be insane. Because it will be coming out of your unconsciousness. You will not be doing it in your alertness, in your awareness. According to me, the madman is one who has fallen completely unconscious, who has lost even the thin layer of consciousness that you have. But even the thin layer of consciousness does not prevent you from behaving insanely. You just watch yourself. You just watch your thoughts, and you will be amazed what kind of thoughts go on in your mind. Watch your actions, what kind of actions you go on doing. Are the actions, are they only reactions? A sane man behaves differently. A Gautam Buddha is surrounded by a crowd which is abusing him, using ugly words, obscene words, because he is against the organized religion of the Hindus, and he is against the Hindu holy scriptures, the Vedas, and he has criticized them as hard as it is possible. And they need it. It is not that he is wrong. He has condemned the whole priesthood, that these are the exploiters, parasites. Naturally, Brahmins were enraged, and this was a Brahmin village from which he was passing. and the Brahmins surrounded him and said every kind of bad thing that they could manage. He listened silently. His disciples became angry. But because Buddha was present, it was not courteous to say anything before the master. The master was standing so silent and listening as if they are saying very sweet things. Finally, Buddha said to them that if your things that you wanted to say to me are finished, I would like to reach to the place where people must be waiting for me. But if your things are not finished, after a few days when I will be returning, I will inform you. And I will have enough time to listen to all that you want to say. One man said, do you think we are saying something? We are condemning you. Do you understand or not? Because anybody will become angry and you are standing silently. And the statement that Buddha made to that village people is immensely significant. He said, you have come a little too late. If you had come 10 years before, when I was as insane as you are, not a single person would have gone alive. 10 years before, he was a prince, a warrior, one of the best archers of his time, a great swordsman, and those Brahmins he could have simply removed their heads with a single blow, without any difficulty, because those Brahmins know nothing about swords or arrows or being a warrior. He would have cut them just almost like vegetables. He said that you have come late. Just 10 years before if you have come. But now I am no more insane. And I cannot react. And I would like to ask one question to you. In the last village, people had come with sweets and fruits and flowers to receive me. But we take food only one time, and we had taken the food, and we don't carry things, so we had to tell them that you please forgive us. We cannot accept sweets, flowers. We accept your love, but these things you will have to take away. I want to ask you, he said to this angry crowd, what they must have done with their sweets and flowers that they had brought as presents to us. One man said, what is the problem in it? they must have distributed the sweets in the village. Buddha said, that makes me very sad. What you will do, because I don't accept what you have brought, just the same way as I did not accept the sweets and the flowers and other things that the people have brought to me in the other village. If I don't accept your obscenity, your ugly words, your dirty words, if I don't accept, what you can do? What you are going to do with all this garbage that you have come with? You will have to take it back to your homes and give it to your wives, to your children, to your neighbors. You will have to distribute. Because I simply refuse to take. And you cannot make me angry unless I accept your humiliation, your insult. Ten years before I was not conscious. If somebody has insulted me, he would have lost his life immediately. I had no idea that insulting me is his problem. I have nothing to do with it. I can simply listen and go on my way. This is what I call sanity. Do you think humanity is sane? It only appears. Just superficial sanity, mannerism, etiquette, culture, civilization, just skin deep, scratch a little deeper, and the barbarous comes out. If you really want Premnath to be a sane being, sannyas is the way for sanity. For dropping all those unconscious layers of your mind which force you to behave unconsciously. And in your unconsciousness you are doing things for which you yourself will repent when you will become a little alert and aware that what I have done. The insane person can only react. The sane person acts. The sane person responds, he never reacts. The way is simple and you are at the right place. Where your mind can become calm and quiet, so much so as if it is absent. You should be certain of your sanity only if you can attain a state of no mind. Only then you can be certain that nothing can drive you mad. Because the mind that was possible to become insane is no more. You have transcended it. I am reminded of an old story. Once there was an old couple who lived deep in the forest and they never saw anybody else. One day the old husband was walking on a lonely path when he saw something shining on the ground. He bent down to pick it up and it was a mirror. But he had never seen a mirror before, and when he saw his own face reflected in it, he thought it was his father's face. Obviously, he has never seen his own face. But he has seen his father's face. So he took it home and placed it up in the attic for safekeeping, and every evening he would go up and say good night to his father. But his wife became suspicious about what he was doing in the attic every evening. So one night she followed him. She saw him looking at the mirror and saying good night to it. But she had never seen a mirror before either. So she pushed over to him, grabbed the mirror out of his hand, looked into it and said, "You old idiot, you mean every night you come sneaking up here just to say good night to this ugly old woman?" But this is how our mind functions. You don't know your original face. And there is no mirror which can show you your original face. What you know as your face is only the face that you have seen reflected in the mirror. It is a reflection, and you must have seen in big cities or in exhibitions or in circuses, there are mirror halls where different kind of mirrors are arranged. In some mirror you become so tall, and in some mirror you become such a pygmy. In some mirror you become so fat, and in some mirror you become so thin. And I don't think the mirror that you are using can be perfect. It is very difficult to have a perfect mirror. If by chance you are having a mirror which makes your face look beautiful or ugly, then you will carry that idea with yourself. But you don't know your original face, how it is directly. It is only in the state of no mind that you become aware of your originality. And that is the only sanity as far as I am concerned. As far as any awakened human being has ever been concerned, it is going beyond the mind and entering into the no mind, that you will attain sanity. Otherwise, Premnath, you will remain either a normal nutcase, or if you are a little courageous, a little adventurous, you may go beyond the border and you will be stamped a madman. And once you are stamped by the society as madman, you may come back to be normal. But nobody will ever think that you are normal. I used to live with one of my father's sister while I was in the college studying. The husband of my father's sister had a brother. He used to come just to chit-chat with me, and I saw every possibility that he can go beyond the border. Just a little push is needed. So one day I was talking to him and I told him that if you are really religious, and he was very religious fanatic, then you should touch your wife's feet every night before you go to bed. He said, but where it is written? I said, it is not written. Great principles remain unwritten. They are transferred from master to disciple. But he said, people will think that I'm mad or something. Nobody touches the feet of the wife. I said, every woman should be taken as your mother. Only then you can be celibate. He said, that's right. That night he went home, he touched the feet of his wife, and the wife shrieked, and the whole house gathered, what are you doing? And he said, every woman is a mother. They said, that's right, but that does not mean that you have to touch the feet of your wife. Don't be stupid. But he became stubborn. He was a fanatic. He said, I will touch. She is my wife, not yours. And what is wrong in it? I'm just paying my respect. His other brothers came to me, that what kind of thing you have told him. I said, I was just checking whether he can cross the line or not. I will pull him back. Don't be worried. But it was really difficult to pull him back. I had to convince him that just for society's sake, you have deep respect, you can touch your wife's feet when she is asleep in the night. You show your respect, it does not matter whether she is asleep or awake. He said, that's right, because I am getting into trouble. Everybody thinks I am mad. He stopped touching the feet, but everybody continued to think that he is a little cuckoo. The same things he was doing before, never people had thought that he is cuckoo. Now he was doing the same thing and people were suspicious. Once a suspicion has entered, then it is very difficult to remove it from the mind of the society. And in fact, people enjoy it that you are mad and they are not mad. They provoke your madness once they know that you are vulnerable. Only one person is not vulnerable to any provocation. If he knows the secret of meditation, a couple went to see a new movie, and the two seats in front of them were occupied by a man and his dog. When the film was over, the dog applauded enthusiastically. The man behind leaned forward and said, "That's simply astonishing." "Yes, it is," said the dog's companion, "especially since he hated the book." Just all around you, if you watch clearly, you will find all kinds of nuts. The Queen of England was visiting the Royal Military Hospital and insisted on making a round of the wards. She came into a room with three beds and asked the first soldier, "What is wrong with you?" Embarrassed, the soldier replied, "Syphilis, Your Majesty." Trying to appear natural, the Queen asked, "And what treatment do you get for it?" "Wire brush and Dettol," the soldier replied. "Is there anything you would like to make your stay more comfortable?" The Queen asked. "No, ma'am. I am a soldier in the Queen's own regiment, and that's enough for me." Deeply touched, the Queen moved on to the next bed, where the soldier lay on his stomach. "What is wrong with you, soldier?" she asked. "Piles, Your Majesty," grunted the soldier. "What is your treatment here?" "Wire brush and Dettol." "Ma'am," wincing, the Queen asked if there was anything she could do to make him more comfortable. He answered that he was simply grateful to be a soldier in the Queen's own regiment, and that was more than enough. The third soldier was reached by the queen. He told her harshly that his problem was a sore throat. What is the treatment for that? She asked. Wire brush and Dettol. Mom, came the reply. Is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable? Yes, Mom. Next time I would like my treatment first. It is such an insane world. Just you have to be watchful and alert, and you will see everywhere ridiculous, hilarious things happening. Unbelievable that sane people should do such things. But remember, everybody is vulnerable. We are born in a wrong society, in a wrong world, with wrong conditions. And unless you are really interested to get rid of your past and past impacts, impressions on your mind, it is not going to leave you easily. The madness continues. And as you grow, your madness also continues to grow. It is not strange that after 60 people start thinking you are senile. You have been always, just now the senility has grown to a point where it is apparent. It cannot come suddenly from nowhere. It has been growing with you. Nobody wants to talk to old people for the simple reason that they are irritable, annoyed easily, expect too much, and to you they look a little getting insane. Perhaps their mind is tired. Not only they are retired, their sanity also is retired. Three old men were sitting on a bench in a public park. One was 75, the second was 80, and the third was 90. They used to meet there every evening. The whole day they waited for the evening, because they were the only friends. Everybody else was far below their age. And there was such a generation gap that there was no question of making friends with anybody else. All the three persons were retired, but that evening the first 75-year-old man was very much looking sad, ashamed. The second old man asked, "What is the matter with you? Why you are so sad, so ashamed? What have you done?" He said, "Don't ask. A beautiful lady was taking bath. She was a guest in our house, and I was peeping from the keyhole, and my mother caught me red-handed. It is so shameful." Both the other old men looked at each other and laughed, and he said, "Don't be stupid. Everybody does such things in the childhood. Everybody got scarred. There is no need to feel so ashamed about something that happened in childhood." He said, "What are you saying? It happened this morning." "And I don't know how I am going back to home." I wanted to die at that very moment. The second man said, "I can understand your problem. I have also my problems. They are bigger than you. It is now seventh day that I have not made love to my wife. The moment I say, 'What about it?' and she simply turns to the other side and says, 'I have such a headache and I am so tired, just go to sleep.' And the third old man laughed and said to the first old man, "Just ask him what kind of love he makes to his wife." And he asked, "What kind of love you make?" He said, "Love? I take her hand into my hand and press it 3 times. And then we say good night and go to sleep. What more I can do at this age?" The oldest said that your problems are childish, stupid. Real problem I am facing. This morning my wife slapped me. And I said, why are you slapping me?" She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I am preparing to make love." She said, "You idiot, neither you sleep whole night, nor you let me sleep. This is the third time you are making love." So I think I am losing my memory. Just watch people. If you are alert and silent and sane, you will be simply surprised what goes on happening all around. My whole effort here is to create a commune of people who are completely free from past conditions, fanatic religions, fascist political ideologies, and who start responding to life out of silence and peace, awareness, consciousness, not through a mind which has no eyes. It is blind. It reacts immediately like any mechanism, but it has no eyes to see directly and deeply into any problem. Even the greatest people that you know in the world behave very childishly, and they are creating millions of problems for other people because they have power. And the whole power is in insane hands. Not a single powerful man in the world is even interested in meditation. And except meditation, there is no way out. We are really coming to the crescendo of insanity of centuries. Just in all of our life, we are going to see the ultimate madness exploding by the time this century comes to an end. And it is not long. It is now 1987. 2000 is only less than 13 years away. In these 13 years, things will go on becoming more and more insane. Just the other day, I received a letter from Oregon from a doctor, a dentist, surgeon, that I am very ashamed the way the American government treated with you and with the commune. You had brought a new colorfulness to the state of Oregon. Rather than rejoicing in that colorfulness, they destroyed the whole commune. Many intelligent people in America feel the same way. But the old problem, those intelligent people feel, but they remain silent. Because they know the majority is absolutely insane. They are so insane that they destroyed the commune illegally. They imposed crimes on me of which I have not even dreamt. They blackmailed me through my attorneys because they made my attorneys afraid that if they are going to insist for trial, then my life may be in risk. Because American government would not like to be defeated by a single individual. And you know, and we know, that we don't have any evidence so your victory is certain. But remember, your victory will mean assassination of Bhagwan. It was made so clear by the government attorneys to my attorneys that they came to me and said that we have never seen such a thing happening. It is absolutely insane, absolutely illegal, criminal. Now they want you to accept any two crimes, smallest crimes, but accept that you are guilty of two crimes, so that they can save the face of America and American democracy and American justice. And once you have accepted two crimes, then there will be no trial. And you will be freed. I was very stubborn. I told that it is better to fight the case because they don't have any evidence and they cannot have any evidence. But the attorney says the question is of blackmail. They are threatening us that they will withdraw the bail and they will put you in jail. And the case, they can go on postponing for 10 years, 15 years, and in these 10, 15 years, they will harass you, torture you, and we are afraid they may even take your life. Because one thing they have made clear, that government is not ready to be defeated by single individual. With tears in their eyes, they begged me that don't insist for fight. We know that you have not committed any crime, and they know it. And we have not gone to negotiate with them. They have come to us to negotiate. This is very strange. That the government should come to the criminal to negotiate. On what? If I have committed the crime, I should be punished. What negotiations? Is it a business? But the reason was clear, that they knew they cannot prove anything against me. And the Attorney General of America later on accepted, when I had left America, that I had not committed any crime. They don't have any proof, any evidence, any witness. But you will not believe that even knowing this, they blackmailed my attorneys and they cried, and I had to accept because they told me that it is absolutely futile. It is hitting your head against the wall for no meaning. and it will destroy your whole movement. It will destroy your all sannyasis, and you will leave millions of people who love you. It is better to accept two crimes. I said, I am not a serious man. I can accept all their 35 crimes. There is no problem. But don't ask for any proof, because I don't have any evidence either. They said, no, nobody is going to ask evidence. And what happened, as I accepted two crimes, the judge immediately ruled that I am punished $400,000, that is near about 60 lakh rupees, for two crimes which I have not committed, which they have forced in a blackmail way, threatening my attorneys that my life is at risk, just to save my life. But they never mentioned that once I accept, then 60 lakh rupees will be the fine. They did not mention that. This was the second trick. First, they blackmailed that this way there will be no trial and we will release. And release Bhagwan immediately. But with the judgment, the judge came, $400,000. My people who were present in the court immediately collected that much money within 10 minutes, because the attorneys were worried to take me out of America as quickly as possible. And as I was coming out of the jail, immediately another summons for some other case that they have created in another court. They were waiting outside the jail to give me the summons. And as I was coming to the airport, I was received the news that they had put a bomb under my chair. And they were waiting, if I don't accept, and I want to go on for trial, then they will just explode the bomb and finish the whole thing. So there is no person and there is no question of any trial. Now that bomb cannot reach inside the jail, under my chair, by somebody who is not part of the government, who is not part of the high authorities of the jail. And the jail had no interest in killing me. The interest must have come from Washington. It must have come from Ronald Reagan. These people are in power, who are lying, blackmailing, doing every kind that is inhuman but perhaps they are doing it in their insanity, in their unconsciousness. And there is no great movement in the world to counter the forces of violence, madness, except our movement for meditation. The responsibility is great on each of you, not only for your own sake, but for the sake of preventing the mad powers from destroying this beautiful planet. This planet who has produced a Gautam Buddha, a Jesus Christ, a Zarathustra, this planet who has given birth to a Krishna, to a Mahavira, to a Lao Tzu, and these are just the beginning of the spring. There are higher possibilities in the future if man goes on living on the earth. We will be producing even higher peaks than we have produced in the past. Those high peaks in the past were produced in spite of all the hindrances of the society. If the society is supportive, we can create so many beautiful people around the world that it can turn from a desert into an oasis. And that's what that dental surgeon reminded me in his letter, that we miss you. You had turned a desert into an oasis, and we feel ashamed that the American government did something absolutely wrong. You had brought a message which could have saved not only America, but the whole humanity. They are missing now, because that is small commune in Oregon had become suddenly more important than the Washington itself. All the eyes from all over the world were concentrated on the commune. What is happening there? Why people are so happy? Why people are so loving? Why there is no fight? Why there is no murder? Why there is no suicide? What has happened to those people? Their jealousies, their conflicts seem to have disappeared. They have entered, it seems, into a new state of consciousness. But as far as I am concerned, I have no complaint against anybody. My own feeling is, it was good that they destroyed the commune. It helped my people to spread all over the world. And wherever my one sannyasin is, he will create the right atmosphere and few people are bound together around him to create small communes all over the world. Now I am not interested in creating a big commune, because any big commune is going to be destroyed by the power that is any government. It doesn't matter whether it is Indian government or American government. If I create a big commune again, which is possible now, the moment you have a power, although your power is of love and peace and silence, the powerful people in New Delhi will start getting disturbed. And I don't want to repeat the history. Only idiots repeat history. So my new idea is, we will not be creating a big commune that unnecessarily comes into conflict with the powers. We will be creating small communes all around the earth. So nobody is worried, because few people cannot be dangerous to the vested interests, but those few people can make the whole world afire with love, with peace, with silence, with blissfulness. Okay, Vinay?
Yes, Bhagwan.